Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I'm sitting down today. We're starting a new series, as you saw in the video, and it's going to be a little different, quite different today than we normally do. And before we jump into it, I do want to highlight what happened yesterday here. We've been working on an event for probably about a year called Brave, and we had that happen yesterday, and it was amazing. I mean, I missed it. I'm male and 49, so I wasn't invited. It was an empowering event for girls 10 to 16. And we had almost 100 girls here with almost 50 caregivers. And it was an event where we had all kinds of great speakers and people with a message to empower girls, particularly to address the issue of sex trafficking in the area, which is, it's becoming, there's an awareness growing that this is a big issue. And it's not like the movie Taken. It's more like luring girls through social media into a lifestyle they really don't want. And it was really a powerful event. I heard stories. There were tons and tons of people involved to make it happen. Really, really positive feedback. And after this Brave event was finished, one of the speakers spoke, Danielle Strickland, she's the one that sort of started this whole thing in the States. We were the second Canadian event to ever happen. And after she spoke, apparently one girl went up to her, said she was 15, and she was being sex trafficked at the age of 13. And she had already come out of that, but she was so thankful that this was happening for girls that have been lured into this or are susceptible to that. And really thankful to all the volunteers, particularly Ashley, who was here in the first service, not in this one, and Claudette, who put a team together a long, long time ago and just made it happen. And it was really, really cool. Now, you may think, what does an event like this do? Wade was here because he was doing tech stuff the whole day, and he says, you know, there's no way that a girl walking out of here after that is going to be the same. They're going to be empowered to be stronger, understand who they are, and be less susceptible to this kind of behavior. But beyond that, there was, from this event, they're starting what are called Brave Circles, which is small groups of girls where they would be mentored or led by a leader, and this is our opportunity to share Jesus with them. And it's online sign up. And I heard last night, I think there were over 30 girls that were signed up, and the number's growing because Claudette told me this morning that before the service, we had almost 40 girls. And so that is really good. I want to say a big thank you to everybody that was involved. And we have our Canadian Brave rep sitting here. You want to stand up and give a wave? So that's our connection to the overarching organization. It's really neat to see you here this morning. We're going to jump into the message. As I mentioned, it's going to be quite different today. And we have a bunch of two. We have two interns that are here from our Bible college, and one's here for 8 weeks, the other one's here for 4 months, almost 4 months. And in Bible college, you're taught how to preach correctly. There's a whole system of rules and how do you get in the text and communicate and all that other stuff. And I'm breaking all the rules today, so that's just the way it is, what we're going to do. We used to do family movie afternoons, and we still might if there's a good movie that comes up, and it was a couple of years ago that I was at one of them, and somebody that was part of our church introduced me to a friend of his that went to another church, and he said, you know, this is our pastor, and he looked me up and down. It was kind of like he was not so impressed. Probably because I was what I was wearing, and I don't know if I'm expected to wear like a collar and a robe like every day of the week and to bed or whatever, but I wasn't. I was just kind of casually dressed. And he looked at me and he said, are you qualified to preach? I thought, well, that's interesting. Because I guess I am. I graduated from Bible college in 1997. I went to our Pentecostal Bible college out west. Back then it was called Western Pentecostal Bible College. Today it's called Summit Pacific. And you know, it did very well. I graduated. They let me out. They gave me a certificate. And in my office, I have a framed certificate. It's not on the wall, but it's on the bookcase there. And if you go in there, you can see that. And we also have a credentialing process through our denomination. And in 1998, I was credentialed as a licensed minister with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And I guess that means something. And they also have a process by which there's a higher level than that. You go for ordination, and that's where people have to call me reverend. And so I have a certificate in my office that says I'm qualified to be a reverend. And And the government, there's a certificate there that recognizes that I'm officially allowed to do weddings, and I'm really, really qualified. Where's he going with this? This is getting really awkward. How many people have been to my office? A handful. The rest of you haven't. How many of you that were in my office actually noticed those certificates? Two, three. Does anybody else care? No. You don't care. Like if I got another certificate, would anybody care? Nobody cares about this stuff. And to whatever degree that matters, I don't know. But see, there's a most important certificate that it's actually not on paper, but if it were hanging in my office, it would say something like, child of God, called to his kingdom, or whatever, called to mission. And that's an invisible certificate that would hang in my office that would be conferred on me by God's Spirit. God's very Spirit confirms within me that I'm his child and I'm called to mission, just like every single one of you. That's the one that matters. All the other ones, yeah, sure, they mean something, I guess, but most people don't really care. That's the one that matters. I'm a child of God and I'm called for his purposes as an individual. You are what you eat. How's that for a subject change? And it's literally true. If you eat something, a lot of the atoms of the things that you eat actually become part of your body. You are literally what you eat. Hopefully you don't eat all like just McDonald's, because that wouldn't say very much about what you are physically. That could be pretty bad for you. But you are what you eat. And the same way, and this is the second part of that, is something that we really, really don't understand. You are also what you eat in terms of what you intake in your mind. When you come across ideas and thoughts and facts, it actually changes who you are. If you have a particular mindset or worldview or perspective, and somebody gives you a set of data or facts that contradicts that, and you change your mind for it, your mind literally, like your brain literally changes. Your brain will form new pathways. You actually physically change given new information. You are what you take in. Now, that's not always true. There are people that hold very, very strong sets of opinions, say politically or whatever, and we have something in our humanity that's called confirmation bias. And what happens is, some people, you get a set of contradictory facts or facts that contradict what you already believe, and that's a threat to what you believe, and so you reject that and you actually double down on your existing preconceptions. That's confirmation bias. So you reject what doesn't fit your worldview and you accept what does. But if you actually accept something different, you change. You become somebody else. You become something else. Slowly, over time, you become not who you were. You change in relationships with people. I am not the same person that I was before I was married 25 years ago, and that is to the benefit of the world. Okay, so in a relationship with somebody else, you change, because what happens is you have all kinds of things, particularly in a marriage relationship, okay? In a marriage relationship, there's something that doesn't work in the relationship, and you face up to that, you're hit with it, you're faced with conflict, because this is really, really an interesting idea, but the person you're married to does not see everything the exact same way you do. Okay, that's a revelation for somebody, right? They actually have a different perspective. And when the perspectives clash, you have something called conflict. And that, as much as it feels like a war, it's actually a very intimate engagement. It doesn't feel like it, but it is. Because who you are is being challenged and threatened, and you have choices to make in terms of how much of yourself are you going to give up, how much are you going to compromise, how much are the two of you together going to be different than the two of you individually? And that's actually a good thing. It makes you better, usually. People change us. When you interact, when you engage with somebody else, there are challenges that make you somebody different. And I think that's true of every relationship you have with another human being. Well, that is if you're treating them like a human being. Because we don't always. Sometimes we treat people like objects or tools or robots. I know when I get my hair cut, I'm not big for small talk. I don't really want to engage relationally. Like I will, I guess. I don't really want to. I want to pay the money get my hair cut. Sure, I'll change, but only in terms of the length of my hair, okay? So, but when you do that to other people, you're treating them like it may as well have a robot cut my hair. You treat them like an object. It's something that I'm actually trying to work on, because every human being is valuable, made by God, and it's not a good thing to treat people like objects. But part of the challenge is, when I engage with somebody else, I risk changing. I risk being challenged by other ideas and other people and all of that. Other people change us. That's part of what it means to be human. We change in our engagement with other people. Without a relationship with somebody else, you wouldn't be who you are. And over the years, a lot of people come in and out of your life, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, and we get built up, we get affirmed, we get wounded, we get challenged, and who we are today is a result of interactions with other people. Why does that matter on a Sunday morning in February when it's cold outside? It comes down to this. I'm going to bring it back to the certificate in my office. It's a mistake to understand that there's an invisible certificate in my office that says that I'm a child of God and I'm called to a mission, but I leave that there. I leave it back there and I continue to do my life as if God himself is a tool or a robot that I take advantage of for my own benefit. That's where the problem is. That certificate should be with me all times. And when I engage with God, the creator, the all-powerful creator who made me to love me, who made me to live with me. That's sort of the big picture story of the Bible. God created humanity to live with humanity. And when I treat him as an emergency resource when I'm in trouble, or an advice giver when I want something, but that's the extent of the relationship, then I'm treating him like an object. He's a person. He's more than a person. Somebody once told me he's the person. We understand certain aspects of God when we sing songs about it, and we understand that to some extent God is our Father. And for some people that's a really good thing, and for other people that's really challenging, because if your default father is somebody who's really bad, that can tarnish your perception of who God is. But God is the perfect parent. Whatever you've experienced, if you've had great parents, okay, God is more perfect than that. If you've had terrible parents, God is the father who your father was not. He's the perfect parent. And that's very, very meaningful, I think, for all of us. And I think because we all have, to some extent, we have biological fathers, and we have other people that are fathers in our life that speak into our lives and affirm who we are. Hopefully we have those things. We have sort of an understanding of who God is. And then there's Jesus. I mean, everybody loves Jesus, I think. At least baby Jesus at Christmas, right? Talladega Nights, you know, I like the baby Jesus. But we also understand that Jesus came to die on our behalf. He went to the cross on our behalf so we could have that relationship with God the Father. We understand that idea of sacrifice. I mean, I don't know if we understand it practically, but we understand that somebody was willing to sacrifice for us, to love us so much they would go all the way to their death, to choose that for us. And then I think most of us would understand he came back to life. He was declared Lord of the world. He's the legitimate ruler of the world, regardless of what we see around us. And then he went back to live with the Father. And where we sometimes get a little bit lost is we understand that there's something called the Holy Spirit, which is that third part. We don't know what it is. And in this first of four messages today, I kind of want to introduce you to him. That's what I want to do today. What is this Holy Spirit? I mean, I could take you through the formulations and confessions of Christianity from a few thousand years ago, and I could tell you the words, and you'd go, okay, great, I have no idea what that means. Somehow, the Father is God, Jesus is God. Jesus is God localized as a human, and there's no reason to think that that's no longer the case. I'm not sure exactly what that means or how it's worked out, but Jesus left, and he said, I will give you my Spirit. And the incredible idea of that is that Jesus himself is not localized anymore, but is everywhere, wherever his people are. Jesus said, the church is my body, empowered by my Spirit. His Spirit is everywhere. But we don't really understand many times who he is. So I'm going to go through some biblical imagery. A lot of the most important truths we understand in life, we can only access through metaphor. And so a lot of the images of the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit is are communicated in Scripture through metaphor. And the very first one you see is wind. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the Spirit was brooding over the waters like a dove. And there's the sense that there's... See, the word Spirit in the original language in Hebrew and in Greek in the New Testament, the word there is wind or air or breath. It's the same word, like the breath of God. Everybody take just a deep breath right now. And I don't mean like those, the high gasping breath, like after you've run, you know, 10 feet, but like a real deep one, you know, where your stomach sticks out. Like when you yawn, just imagine you're yawning and the breath goes all the way into the bottom. It's very relaxing. If you're ever stressed, there's nothing like taking a breath. And God's Spirit is one that gives rest. He's one that overcomes chaos to create. He's one that gives life. He's the life within us. He's the breath within us. When God created mankind, he said he breathed spirit into mankind. Breath, wind, the breeze. And there's a very peaceful image there, but it's also very powerful because the wind is also a hurricane. The wind has a power beyond what we can imagine. Dangerous even, but life-giving. This scripture says that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that life-giving breath, that life-giving Spirit that took that dead body and raised him from the dead is alive in you. When you're a follower of Jesus, when you have your trust in God the Father through Jesus, his death and resurrection, his Spirit is brought to life within you. He's the wind. God created and he spoke everything. He commanded creation to come into being. The New Testament version of that Genesis is John 1. In the beginning was the Word, the rationale, the logos, the meaning of creation. God spoke it and his breath was the medium for the Word to affect everything. The same thing I believe is true today. God wants to speak his word to us. He wants to speak his word through us, through his Spirit that lives in us. He's the wind. He's the comforter. Jesus said, I'm going to go away and you'll be comforted when I send the comforter. You ever have life go bad? Just me, I guess. Sometimes life really sucks. We go through life and sometimes we're battered, we're wounded. Sometimes we get past that, but the wounds are still deep. And they might be hidden, but they're still there. You know, when you're about to fall asleep and all of a sudden that incident pops into your mind and now you can't sleep. You know, we try to love everybody, but somebody mentions a certain person's name and you get uptight. We need comfort. We need healing. And Jesus says, I'm going to send the comforter. The Spirit is the comforter for us. We go to him for comfort, for affirmation. You are God's child. Scripture says that it's by God's Spirit we know that we are children of God. Our spirit cries out and says, Daddy, Father, in response to the Father that loves us. It's his Spirit that makes that happen. It's his Spirit that calls us to him in that relationship. He's the comforter. Now, the word translated comforter is also translated advocate. It's a complex Greek word that doesn't translate directly into English. An advocate is somebody that speaks on your behalf. It's like a defense lawyer. So the Bible tells us that we have an enemy of our soul. We did a four-part series. We just came out of that and talks about the battle that we're in. The battle is primarily spiritual. There's an enemy of your soul that will whisper things into your head, but use first person so it sounds like your voice, but it's not, saying things like, you suck. Now, sometimes it is your voice because we program to take that on. We think that God hates us or we're bad or we're evil. That's the accuser. The enemy of your soul accuses you to yourself, accuses God to you. God hates you. God's out to get you. That's the voice of the accuser. One of my frustrations in being a pastor of a church for many years is when I see people in the church allying with the accuser, making accusations all the time. That's frustrating. The accuser's job is to take you down, to accuse you. But the Spirit's job, God's breath within you, is to advocate for you, to advocate for the Father, to bring restoration. His voice says you are loved, you are valuable, you have purpose, you have meaning. That's the voice of the advocate. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you an advocate. The Spirit will be your advocate. He's the revealer. He's the revealer of truth. Jesus says, The Spirit is going to lead you into all truth. Now, we have all kinds of ways of pursuing truth in our world today, through science to study the material world, which is really valuable, philosophy to understand concepts and the meaning of life and all of that. But Jesus said this a number of times. He said, I thank you, God, for you've hidden truth from the wise and revealed it to the innocent or the naive or the child. Because all of our best efforts to gain understanding and what really matters are useless without the Spirit revealing to us. Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth. There's a passage at the end of Luke where Jesus has died, he's risen again, and nobody knows yet. And these disciples are despondent, and they're walking away. We're done. We're leaving Jerusalem. We're going back to where we came from. And Jesus meets them on the way, and they don't recognize him. And it says he opened their eyes and opened Scripture to them, and that's what Holy Spirit does for us. You ever read the Bible and something jumps out at you that you're either seeing for the first time or was just never there before? No one? Put up your hand if you've ever had that happen. That's God's Spirit speaking to you, revealing to you. I was going through a rough time once. I'm reading through the Bible, and there was a verse that had never been there before, and all of a sudden now it is, and it's there just for me. That's the Spirit revealing to you. Scripture says he reveals Jesus. He reveals the Son. What does that mean? Reveals Jesus to be God's true chosen one and the means for humanity to be what humanity is supposed to be. Spirit reveals that. That's his job. Without him, you're really not going to understand, even if you're trying to read the Bible. He's the perfecter. What does that mean? There's an early letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. And these early Christians, they had come to be followers of Jesus, and they were starting to adopt all of the practices and expectations of that covenant for the Jews under Moses, because they thought this is what it takes to be part of God's family, to be recognized as God's family, to be perfected into who we're supposed to be. And I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for that. One cultural reason is likely that without being recognized as Jewish, they would have been subject to forcible participation in pagan sacrifices. But the Jews got a free pass, right? So, so we want to be Jews. We want to be recognized as God's messianic people. So we're going to start doing all these things. And Paul, with all of his love and care for this congregation, says, you stupid people. Oh, you foolish Galatians, he says. How do you think that you can perfect what God started by the Spirit? You can perfect by your own actions. You can't. You can try to implement discipline in your life. You can try to follow all the right rules, all the right systems. But to become who you are made to be, Christ-like, in God's family, to become perfected in that takes the Spirit's work. We have to ally with him in that. We submit to him. We let him do his work in us for us to become who we're supposed to be. All your efforts, they don't get anywhere. That's what the Spirit does. He perfects us. One symbol for Holy Spirit in Scripture is fire. And that goes back to the Old Testament where Moses was rescuing, God was rescuing through Moses, leading the people through Egypt, you know, rescuing them from Charlton Heston, if you're old enough, or if you're younger, I think it was like Voldemort or something like that. And from Pharaoh, and they go through the Red Sea, and Moses says to Pharaoh, let my people go. He doesn't say so we can go to the promised land. He says, let my people go so we can meet with our God in the wilderness. And that's what happened. God met with his people and implemented this massive system, complex system of sacrifices and a special tent. And the sacrifices were to allow people to meet with God who wants to live among humans. Because on our own, we wouldn't be able to survive in his presence. And so there was this massive purification system where people could go through the purification process and meet with our God in the special temple. And the sign of his presence was a fire or a cloud over the tent. His presence right there. And every time they were going to move, the fire would go up and it would lead them on, and they would follow that through the wilderness until they reached their destination. That was God's very presence, God's Spirit, God's fire, God's wind, God's breath leading his people. And at Pentecost, after Jesus dies, I mean, I'm covering a few thousand years in history, right, in one sentence, but Jesus dies, he's resurrected, he goes back to be his Father, he says, I'm going to leave my Spirit, and at Pentecost, you see fire going on every individual. That's God's very presence, just like on that tent. My presence is with you. I'm among you. I'm within you. God's very breath, giving us life, guiding us, comforting us, advocating for us. God wants to live with us, and he plants his spirit in each of us. And when you trust Jesus with your future, with your life, with your eternity, he plants a spirit in you. Whether you feel it or not, it's there. The question is, are you allowing that to govern your decisions? Are you letting it burn, or are you leaving it like a certificate back in the office? Ultimately, there's one thing we need to understand. If you've been here for any length of time, you know, over the years, you would know I'm a Star Wars fan. So in Star Wars, you have the Force, you know, Luke Skywalker, Yoda, and all of that. The Force is an energy field created by all living creatures. It's a nice illustration, but that's exactly what the Spirit is not. And sometimes we can get confused because we think God's Holy Spirit is someone that we can use. He's like a magic force that you can transfer from person to person, or we leverage for whatever, our benefit. He's not a force created by all living creatures. He's the one that created all living creatures. It's the other way around. And he's not somebody to be used like a barber. Well, you shouldn't use a barber either. He's not a robot. He's not a slot machine. He's a person to be engaged with. And remember I said before how we're changed by people? We're changed by people in relationship? Now imagine a relationship with the person. The most important relationship you'll ever have, that forms you, not in a way that threatens you, but will burn off all of what you shouldn't be, but bring to life all that you should be. That is God's Spirit. Holy Spirit. So we're doing a four-part series. And before we talk about what Holy Spirit does and how he works and how he wants to work among us, my goal today is to introduce him to you as a person. I'm going to ask that you close your eyes. If you're like me, if you have a cynical, skeptical bent, what I'm going to ask you to do right now is just put that to the side, just for now. You can analyze this later, I guess. Don't overanalyze it. There's just certain things in this world you're just not going to understand. You have to be okay with that. But right now, Holy Spirit, I want to invite you here to speak to each one of us. Right now, just open your heart and allow him to speak to you. Don't dismiss what you hear in your head. Oh, that's just me, or I just made that up. Allow the Holy Spirit to introduce himself to you, maybe for the first time, or maybe all over again, because God is infinite and there's always more. Struggling this is a little bit. Sometimes it helps to do a physical action, and if you just feel yourself resistant, then take your hands, put them on your lap, palm up, and just receive what he has to give to you, to show you, to say to you right now. Holy Spirit, as much as we don't understand a whole lot, I ask now that you would help us to know you even more than we know about you. Speak to us. You would reveal yourself. You would reveal Jesus. You would reveal the Father. You would speak to us about who we are. You would take us further in our relationship than we have ever been before. that we would continue to allow you to speak to us. We wouldn't dismiss or explain away what you are legitimately doing, that you would prepare our hearts for what you want to say to us over the next few weeks, during the week and during next Sunday's message and the ones after. I want to give you permission to say and do what you want. Pray that you'd give each one of us the willingness to see you and to give you that permission as well. So that here at Crosslands Church, we would truly be characterized by that wind, by that fire, by your presence, that you want to live among us. Us to give you the attention that you deserve. We're going to close the service, and we're going to leave this room available as a prayer room, and some of you will want to stay and continue to engage and allow the Holy Spirit to show himself to you, to speak to you. We always encourage people to stay and have meaningful conversations, to engage with one another, because that relationship matters. We just ask that you do that in the lobby so that this can be a room where people can really engage with God for the next little while. So if you want to have the conversation, just leave quietly and allow the people that want to further engage with him just the space to do that. Let's stand and we're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your incredible love, for your creative power, for your desire to know us, to be known by us. I thank you for sending Jesus to make the way available, and I thank you for your Spirit that you have planted in each one of us, that is here among us. Father, open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears to see what you want to show us, to hear what you want to say to us. And Father, I ask that this would not be a one-hour Sunday morning thing. You do start something new today that persists among us, that persists within each one of us. Lead us, guide us, affirm us, correct us. Help us to be those that you have created us to be. We want to know you more. We open ourselves to know your presence to a greater degree. Give us a greater revelation of who you are. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.